This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Welcome to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng. How do owners of successful businesses gain peace of mind that their beneficiaries won't lose the business in event of the owner's death or incapacitation? Well, today we talk about succession planning and how using private equity investors can help formulate a good succession plan. Joining us on the show is Kyle Shaw, Managing Director of Shaw Quay & Partners.
So good morning, Kyle. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. First of all, could you give us a brief overview of what you do?
I am the managing partner and founder of Shaw Quay & Partners. We're a private equity firm based in Hong Kong with an office in Singapore, covering the mid-market, small to medium businesses in Asia. We invest in these companies. We typically will take a control stake, anything from 50% up to 100% of the business and ownership, and then we help to build a better business for that company and move it to the next chapter of its development.
Now, of course, today our topic is succession planning. Why is succession planning important?
Well, I think there were a large number of companies in Malaysia, for example, that were formed in the 80s and 90s that took advantage of opportunities for globalization, trade, and so forth. And a lot of these founders were very energetic. They built great businesses. And they didn't really think so much about succession planning when they were younger. And as they've gotten older, they kind of thought, well, perhaps my child will eventually take over the business. And that was the traditional way in Southeast Asia for family businesses. And I think that's run into a current theme amongst young people of not necessarily wanting to come back and run their father's business. They may be working overseas, or they may take professional jobs. Or they may just want to simply pursue a different lifestyle and career than what their father had. So at this point in 2016, and as I think as we move forward over the next 5 and 10 years, you're going to see an increasing number of owners, owner managers, who are thinking, well, if my child doesn't take over, then what do I do? And so I think this is a relatively new phenomenon. I think when these men and some women were, when they were children, then if their fathers expected them to take over, then they would do it.
Okay.
But today's government, that's not true.
When I think about succession planning, I'm usually, what's in my head are big companies that have the means and resources to not only think about, but to fund succession planning. Is this a fair image to have? And do small companies also have a chance to do their bit of succession planning?
They do if you think ahead. I think succession planning is a 5-year process, identifying the right candidate, making sure he or she gets a variety of experiences and increasingly gets a role of responsibility. And then the person who is being replaced, let's call him the CEO, he needs to eventually completely step aside and let that successor run the business. You can't really have two cooks in the kitchen. And so it's a very, very difficult process for any company to manage. And for a smaller company, it is especially challenging because they don't have the depth of management. Typically, they will have a support team around the CEO who are of the same generation and age as the CEO. And so they themselves are thinking about retirement and not being the successor to the CEO. So a bigger organization can make the investment in HR and personnel to groom successors. Again, a lot of times for the smaller companies, they're just busy kind of dealing with day-to-day battles with customers, with competitors, with suppliers.
Exactly. And so that is the kind of business that are mushrooming right now in not only Malaysia, but around the world as well. So if you think of some of these new models of business that comes on, like startups and so on, if they wanted to embark on a kind of succession planning policy, even though they're small, what are the key basic principles to keep in mind that's involved in the implementation of good succession planning?
Well, that's a challenging question. I mean, again, they need the person with the right temperament, the right leadership skills, the right experience, and a vision for taking the business forward, because you can't just bring in a successor and expect him or her to do exactly what had been done before. The world is rapidly changing. You need to have a view as to how the business will change to adapt. And so that's a very tall order. I think that's why I think it takes about 5 years. 5 years to give that person some time, some experience, to develop his vision, develop his leadership, develop his industry contacts. And if you can do that, then I think you'll be in good shape. And you also need to make sure the business is financially sound, that when that person is taking over, they don't immediately find themselves under pressure from bank loans or from, perhaps they're losing revenues, revenues are declining. You need to basically allow the successor to inherit a business that has sustainability.
And also when we talk about succession planning, we always think about a kind of sudden death of the key person in the organization throwing everything into disarray. But the picture that you're painting is that this is some kind of a very intentional and very targeted planning during very benign times, not just death. So death is not only the reason to think about succession planning, isn't it?
That's correct. And I mean, I think we all, you know, do not really wish to think or dwell upon death, but it is inevitable. And it's only a question of time. And sometimes it happens unexpectedly. You know, some people die much too young, and it's a surprise, and they're not prepared for it. Neither is the business. But I think the succession planning, if you're a business owner, then you have to really think carefully about your responsibility. You have a responsibility to your family to make sure that if you do have a death, that they're going to be taken care of, that the business will be in safe hands, and that the financial investment you have in the business is something that they can eventually harvest and take some money out. Secondly, you have a responsibility to your staff. You cannot just afford to let them all find the leader is gone and the business collapses, and then you impact many, many people's lives, their families' lives, and so forth. And then, of course, you have a responsibility to customers, you have a responsibility to suppliers, you have responsibilities to the banks. These are all key stakeholders in the business. And so it's, frankly, irresponsible not to anticipate the need for your succession, because there will be a lot of people very negatively impacted if you haven't thought this out.
Now, what are some of the instruments that can help in succession planning? And one of the key products that we hear about is Keyman Insurance, and this is life insurance on the key person in the business. Is this a main feature of succession planning?
I think it's an ancillary feature. It's not a main feature. It is something to help smooth the transition. Because, I mean, there's only so much money that you'll be able to get for Keyman Insurance, and it will not be enough to secure your family's well-being or the business's well-being indefinitely. It is something that you should think about as helping you get through the next 12 months. It will be an expensive time. You may need to bring in outside experts to help on the succession if you have not thought about it carefully enough. If you're not prepared for it, then Keyman Insurance is helpful. But it's not a panacea that will solve all the problems.
So tell us
more. You should do it, I think.
So every small company should have some form of Keyman Insurance.
Yes. And they should also think about the succession planning and put it in an envelope somewhere and have a plan for, you know, the unlikely event of a sudden need for a succession plan.
We're speaking to Kyle Shaw, Managing Director of Shaw, Quay & Partners, on Ringgit and Sense, discussing how private equity can be the answer to good succession planning. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes. Stay tuned right here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Good morning, you're listening to Ringgit and Sense with me, Melissa Idris, and Julian Ng. Now, private equity can facilitate the succession planning process by making sure that the business continues to run smoothly even after the loss of a key person or even the founder. Now, we're joined today by Kyle Shaw, Managing Director of Shaw, Quay & Partners, a private equity firm from Hong Kong.
Now, tell us a little bit more about how private equity is, which is the business that your company is involved in, how does that help with the role of succession planning?
Well, I think if the company does not have a successor internally groomed to take over, then they only have a couple of other likely possibilities to maintain the business and create value for the shareholders' families, and that is they can sell the business to someone else. Now, there are different types of buyers. You could go and talk to your competitors, for example, who want to maybe scale up their business. You could talk to some of your customers who want to vertically integrate, or your suppliers who want to vertically integrate. Or you could talk to private equity. The benefit of talking to private equity is that we're very discreet, and we have experience in succession planning of companies and taking them to a new chapter. The problem with going to your competitor, your customer, or your supplier is you alarm them. You cause a great deal of concern by those parties about, well, yes, what happens if you go away? And then rumors start in the market. Your staff may hear about it, that you're looking to exit, and it may get out of control by talking to those types of industry players. By talking to a private equity firm, I think it's a much more discreet process. Private equity firms are very, very careful about the information that they gain. They don't use it against the company. They're likely to be a very friendly discussion with the owner. And then for us at Shaw Kuei, we are not only helping the owner to exit his investment, but we're also looking at how do we take the business forward. And we would do that in conjunction with the owner. We would talk about, well, what can we do differently? How can we grow the business? Because we are ultimately going to want to sell the business in a sort of 5 to 10 year period of time. And we need to think about how to grow, how to keep the people, how to maybe expand opportunities that they have. And so that can be a very interesting discussion for the owner, and there may be a role for him to stay on for a few more years if he wishes to do so. And then together prepare for a smooth transition.
And is it always also true that the private equity people have longer expertise in the investment and in the field that is being looked at, and therefore more aligned to the interests of the people involved?
That's correct. And I think the expertise that private equity has is typically an area that the owner doesn't have himself. And the owner's expertise is usually in the products, the customers, the technology of his industry, and he will know that better than I will. But the area where private equity, like a firm like Shaw Kuei, can help is corporate governance, financial accounting controls, ERP systems, marketing, creating a brand and highlighting that brand, advertising, promotion. So, and then also developing the next layer of management, the younger generation, and bringing in professionals who may help the business to go to that next level, that next chapter in its life.
It also solves the problem of the next generation that's related to the family of being uninterested in business. The professionalism that private equity brings in, that helps too, right?
It does. I mean, we have recently just exited a business that we came into. And in this company, the owner wanted to retire, and his daughter, who was working in the business and was really kind of the likely person before us, really wanted to pursue a career in cooking. She wanted to become a professional chef. And so that was quite different than the manufacturing job that her father had built up over 30 years. And, you know, I think that was a family discussion. She was the only child. They had a family discussion, and it was the business was worth quite a bit of money, and it made more sense for them to exit the business, prepare the ground for us to come in and to bring in another buyer, and for her to then pursue her dream. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are a lot of young people who they're interested in work. They're just interested in maybe perhaps doing something different than their father did.
And, you know, going back to the idea of a manager of or an owner of a small business, one of the most controversial factors is valuation, right? The valuation of the private equity manager may be quite different from the owner. Could you take us through how some of these valuations are made?
Yeah, they're very complicated. I mean, you need to look at the assets. You need to look at the liabilities of the company. You need to look at the revenues and the cost. And then as a private equity investor, we think, well, what can we do with this business? What can we do with the fixed assets? What can we do with the bank facilities that they may have in place or other liabilities that they have in place? And then when we look at the P&L, we think about the revenues. You know, maybe there's room for growth. Actually, maybe there's room for scaling back some of the revenues. Some businesses have revenues with customers that yield very little profit, and they're unlikely to grow and yield profit. So perhaps you need to just refocus some of your customers and key in on the ones that are the profitable ones that have a good growth potential. And same thing with cost. In some of these businesses, we actually want to put money in to create or to buy new technology, new manufacturing ideas, advanced manufacturing ideas that maybe will require less labor going forward, but generally a higher quality labor, a labor that is more sophisticated and more adept at using advanced manufacturing capabilities. And then there's things like ERP, you know, and getting better business knowledge. So, again, a typical CEO, founder, manager in his 60s intuitively understands his business. He can walk across the factory floor. He can see people. He knows exactly what's going on. That is very hard to duplicate in someone new coming in. And so what you do then need to do is you need to rely more on systems, more on business intelligence that you can invest and put into place and have a professional management team come in and manage it.
I just want to go back to Key Man Insurance and just put private equity and Key Man Insurance side by side. Is it expensive to buy a Key Man Insurance policy and to combine that with the cost of also going the route of private equity?
It's not cheap, and it depends on the business. It depends on the owner's age and health. And so it's an insurance product, basically, and so it depends on a lot of variables. And I'm not exactly aware of what the cost is in Malaysia for somebody. But I think it's useful to have, and you should maybe think about how much will it cost us to make sure that we run the business well if the owner were to have an accident tomorrow. And unexpectedly, the family is grieving, the business has been negatively impacted, there's a lack of leadership. You need to quickly move in with somebody coming in to help manage it, and to perhaps cushion the blow of the loss in profits that will happen. Because, again, you have suppliers that need to be paid. You have banks that maybe have bank loans that need to be repaid. You have staff, you know, that will expect to get paid each month. And so you want to make sure that there's enough money coming in to finance that, and that you can bridge a 6 to 12 month transition period to then stabilize things. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea. I think it's an excellent idea to have it. It is not going to solve the fundamental problem about what do we do with the business and how do we take it forward. I cannot overemphasize that, you know, as an owner, you have a responsibility to your family. Absolutely. And you do not want to give them a business that, you know, you accidentally die and the value evaporates overnight, because without you there at the helm, it's poorly managed. You also have a huge responsibility to your staff. You cannot let them just be left without a leader and a path forward. And then the same stays is true, I think, for customers, for your suppliers, for your banks. You know, you have a very huge responsibility and burden, and you need to think about eventually passing this on.
So,
I mean, there's a more positive aspect to this we haven't talked about. We've kind of focused on the negative, and that is, this actually can be a very liberating experience for the CEO. It can give him a chance to step back and enjoy life, to do things that he maybe has postponed for a large part of his life because he's busy every day working, whether it's travel, whether it's spending time with the family, whether it's, you know, some of his hobbies that he prefers, or perhaps even giving back to society and participating in charitable activities, helping people who are less fortunate to get a leg up. I mean, there's a lot of things still that a person can do, and you may live to be a lot older. You may live well into your 80s, and you may have a very fruitful time in that period. But, you know, it may be hard to realize those ambitions if you're saddled with the day-to-day management of a company.
That was Carl Shaw, Managing Director of Shaw Kwee & Partners, talking to us about how private equity can be a key strategy in succession planning. You've been listening to Ringgit and Sense on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.